I desire your prayers for the service this afternoon. I want to remind us of the scripture that was read this morning concerning all things working together for good to them that love the Lord. Do we love the Lord today?
Yes.
I believe we do. I believe that's why we're here. It's because we love loving the Lord. We love living for the Lord. But that scripture says that everything, do you believe that? Everything is going to work for your good because you love the Lord and because He's calling us to His purpose or His plan. So this afternoon, I'm going to continue a little thought connecting this morning's message. And I want to start out by just making a few statements. Number one, God is good.
Yes.
That's a good statement, isn't it? It's a true statement. I love it the way that oftentimes Brother Dan will start out with the song, God is so good, and we sing at least three verses, but someone put on our OKC, there's many more verses. Wouldn't you like to sing all of that sometime? But the foundation of it all is that God is good. And when you and I believe in His goodness, it'll take away a lot of our fears.
Yes.
It'll help us to not doubt if we believe in His goodness. So the scripture verifies that everything that is good comes from above. It actually calls it a gift, but we can go beyond the gifts. We can go beyond all that is good comes from above. All that is good and perfect is from above. And God can be trusted. He has not done one act to make us think He's not worthy of our trust. Not one. Oh, the enemy would like for us to say, well, God didn't answer that prayer. There is a song that's not in our book, and the title of it is Unanswered Yet. And that's still hope. God still is working.
Yes.
He just hasn't come to that point in His plan to answer. And on top of that, we've heard it said that when God says, no, that's an answer. And we have to accept a no like we would if we were to get our way. Because it's in His wisdom. He grants that which is wise for your life and for my life. So you can trust God, and I'm going to finish it like this, to write your story. Every one of us, we read it this morning, that our lives are like a tale being told. And at the end of our life, it will be complete. And there will be no way that the whole story could be told in a funeral. It's just a portion. Portions of a story are maybe repeated at the end of one's life. But, you know, there's a scripture that says, speaks about our works following us. So even after you and I have left this world, there will be part of our story. Our works will be remembered. In the Sunday school class this morning, it was spoken of examples. Good examples, bad examples. They're still an example. And good examples are to promote us. And they are to feed us if we have remembered them from those that have gone before. I'm sure that Irma, Bernice, we're older. And we've had a lot of examples in the past. And oftentimes they come up and we remember. We remember their works. Their works are following them. So that's part of our story. All that we are doing, all of our deeds cannot be remembered maybe at the end, but they will begin to repeat themselves in those that observed the example. So your story and my story, it will have some good parts, but it will have some bad parts. I believe with all of my heart that God has a plan of salvation that is perfect. It is entire. It is wanting nothing. I believe He has power for you and me to live above sin. And yet, did a red flag come up in your mind? We are going to have some places in our humanity that we will repent of again. We will feel sorry. This is how we live above sin. It's because the Spirit of the Lord is so faithful to us. He will come to us. He will convict us. We've had some other things brought out in the messages that verify what I'm saying. He is a faithful God that is not willing for you to perish or me to perish. And should I have a failure, I can still be redeemed if I turn back to Him. And He will forgive. He is not just faithful, He's just. And He's loving. And He's kind. And He's true. So everything that comes to you and me is going to fall into those categories. It's going to be something that will be a very good pleasure to remember. God's going to grant us good things in our life. I believe that. Happy times, joyful times. Like Rowan was praying for snow, that's something that made him happy. Well, down through our journey, there's going to be things maybe not quite as childish, but yet there's going to be things we're going to go and we're going to say, Lord, this is the desire of my heart. And what does the scripture say? It says, if we delight ourselves in Him, what will He do? Did you know that this is a two-way street? That it's not just a one-way street. That what we do in our worship to God, and He finds pleasure in our worship, He in turn wants to turn back and leave a blessing. Thank the Lord. He is not a God that is harsh and wants to crush us and wound us and drive us away. He is always wanting to draw us to Him. Remember that. When the enemy comes in, did you know that the devil tries to accuse God to us? He tries to make us think God is not good. I've been there. And I am sure if you haven't been there, and I want you to remember this, if you have not been there, you will be. There will come a time that the enemy will try to convince you God is not good. I'm going to tell you the experience. Some of you know it. It was when we were taking care of Sister Velda in her affliction. And you could set your clock to the time of the evening when her pain would start. And it would go for 12 hours. No sleep. It was unbearable pain. Well, Sister Vicki and I were taking turns, and later a number of the saints helped. But it was a very difficult thing because we could pray and we did all we knew to do, and it didn't change it. So one night I was there. Lorne was there with me that night. He was laying in the living room. I was working with Velda. And it was a particularly difficult night. Oftentimes we would sit at the foot of her bed and rub her feet, just trying to help her have some relief. I'm down at the foot of her bed doing that and praying silently. And she is suffering greatly. And the devil was just bombarding my mind and saying, God is not good. God is not good. God is not hearing your prayers. God, and just accusing God to me. And I'm just battling in my mind. And all of a sudden, Sister Velda cried out. She said, am I going to curse God and die? And I realized then she was battling the same thing. We called Lorne in. How do you battle that? Did you know there's weapons we can use against those kind of attacks? So we called Lorne in, and the rest of the night we had a prayer meeting. We began to testify and remember the good things that God did. This is your weapon against that thought, is to remember the good things that God does for us, and He is good. And we sang songs, and we prayed, and we won the battle.
Thank the Lord.
So if you come to a place that the enemy is attacking your mind, that God is not good, remember the weapon against it is to remember the good things God has done and will continue to do. He is a good God. Thank the Lord. And He will be good to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God wants to be good to you? He does. I am not telling a lie. You have heard me say how that when I first started in the ministry and I would be down at the altar praying with somebody, and I would always say at the end, the Lord will help you. And when I would go back to my seat, the devil would attack me and tell me I was giving them false hope. And then one day, I love to say it this way, the Lord gave me a scripture. And it said, say to the righteous, it will be well with thee. The enemy has not been able to bombard my mind with that ever again. The word of the Lord is what we need. Thank the Lord. So God's going to have some really good places in your life. But you're going to face some hard and difficult places. It's reality. There's going to be some rough places, and you will have to endure it. You may not get the answer quite as quickly as you wish. We are all a little bit impatient, aren't we? I want the answer, and I want it 2 minutes ago or 1 hour ago. It won't be that way. God is calling for His people to endure hardness as a good soldier. And there's no other way. And you might say, well, why? Well, it's this little song that we just heard. He's causing these things to work together for good, and He's causing it to temper me and shape me. You've heard message after message down through your life. concerning the potter and the clay, concerning how the potter forms the clay into a vessel that will honor. Oh, you've heard me tell about the book I read, and the woman had a dream, and she walked into this hut where a potter was working with pots, forming clay pots. And he doesn't look up, and he, all of a sudden, there's pots behind him, and one of them just falls to the ground and breaks into pieces, and he reaches down and picks up the pieces, and he dips his hand in a molten liquid, and he begins to form that vessel and mend it back. And then he looks up at her and he says, better is a broken vessel, but mended by the Holy Spirit. God mends us when we are broken. And you know there is a technique that is developed in Japan. I mean, they love their vessels. They treasure their vessels. And when one should get broken, they don't throw it away. I want to tell you, if one of us is broken, he doesn't toss us away. He wants us to be more valuable after the fact. And that's the case in these vessels in Japan. They have some kind of technique that they use pure gold. And they mend that vessel and it becomes more beautiful and of far more value. And that's what the Lord is wanting to work with you and me. So God is good. He's good to us. How many of you have maybe been a little bit bored with the song, Jesus is so good to me? And after we have sang those phrases over and over through the chorus and even throughout some of the verses, Jesus has been so good to me. And you quote it over and over and you think, how many times do I have to hear this to believe it? We need to hear it and we need to believe it. So Jesus has been very good to us. And there is one reason the Lord wants to be so good to us, and why he is so patient and long-suffering and merciful and kind. Did you know it's for Jesus' sake? His son? It's because of what he did, what he gave. He gave his life's blood. He wants to be the supreme sacrifice for all the generations. And so therefore, he wants everything that he does for us to be to his glory. Thank the Lord. So number two, I wrote down that trusting and believing all you've been taught. What have you been taught? You know what? If you've been taught even part of your life, you've learned a lot. Let's say in the last year, let's say in the last 2 years, what have you heard? What have you been taught? Have you learned anything? Are you a little farther down the road than you were 5 years ago? I believe we are. I believe the Lord is leading and guiding each one and working with each vessel and tempering us and shaping us and molding us and fashioning us to be vessels of honor. So all that we have been taught in his word, if you've been going home and you've been taking his word and you've been looking into it, you come and maybe you're in a Bible study and a subject is given and it's exhausted, we should take something home with us. I mean, even one scripture. It's true, our human minds don't retain everything we hear and everything we learn, but we get something. I believe this. So everything that you've been taught in His Word, in the messages, in Bible studies, in Sunday school, in prayer meeting, you get something. There's much said about the goodness of the Lord in prayer meeting, the things that we're thankful for. So even concerning the promises, and again, I want to say what I said this morning, go home and study the promises. Let it be hid in your heart that you can draw that out of there and be able to stand on it. We sang the song this afternoon, Standing on the Promises. Well, I knew someone one time, and I'm not recommending this, but it left an impression on me. They were going through a very, very, very difficult battle. And sometimes when we are in difficult, extremely difficult places, even if it's a suffering of our body, if it's a suffering of our mind and emotions, if it's just trouble itself, it is very hard to read the Bible. Did you know that? Have you experienced that? When you're being taxed and you're being vexed, it's very hard to pick up the Bible and say, well, where can I read that I can get something to help me? And you read and you find nothing. Did you know that it's very hard to pray in those kind of times too? And sometimes you have to go and use the word of the Lord like this. Lord, cause the Holy Spirit to make groanings for me. Because that's what the word says. I believe God does that. So it's in those times. Well, anyway, I started to tell you about this sister that was going through a very difficult time. She had difficulty praying. She had difficulty getting hold of the word. And you know what she did? She closed her Bible, set it on the floor, and stood on it. Lord, I am standing on your word. Well, she did it literally. But do you think that God would honor that? I think he did. I think he will. When you have reached your limit, take the word of the Lord and put your feet on it and sing the song, Standing on the Promises. That'll help. So that's what it will take, trusting and believing in all that we have been taught and heard and learned, and then to stand on his promises. Did you know that the word of the Lord prepares us for suffering? Did you know the word of the Lord prepares us to endure hardness? Did you know that the word of the Lord prepares us to endure to the end and be saved? The word of the Lord is very beneficial and most profitable. That is why the word of the Lord says to hide it in your heart. You may not be able to hide every word of the word of God in your heart, but I want to tell you, he can inspire some of his word, and it can, when the Lord inspires it to you, you don't forget it. It's an experience that stays with you, and it's that word. And maybe you're not exactly able to quote it just like it's written, but you've got the essence of it. And you're able to use the essence. And it's just as powerful. Thank the Lord. So it prepares us for suffering. And it prepares us for enduring hardness. The word of the Lord is counted as an anchor to our souls. And that's the word of the Lord. An anchor is so important in our lives. Without it, we will, what is that scripture? Be tossed like the wind and the waves. We won't be stable. But if I have that anchor and it's fixed in Christ, it's fixed in His Word, then it will hold us in the storms of the path of life. Remember, we're on a path of life. So an anchor is so important, and it be fixed in His Word. Okay, number three. Suffering hurts. Well, did you have to say that? Well, yes, we all know to suffer in our physical body, it hurts. But it's good for us to prepare for suffering, because the whole world does not want to suffer. It's in all of humanity. They can hardly suffer a headache. Any of the slightest physical pain that comes, they want relief right now. I was thinking just a while ago of how this morning the physical pain that I had and pressing to come in spite of it, believing God's word, would I have had any praise if I had not endured it to the end? You know, this enduring to the end, we often think is at the end of our life, but it's enduring things along the way, to the end of those things along the way. And God wants to bring us to an end. He says in one place, and you say, well, you're taking that out of context. He says, and He brought it to pass. Well, that's not doing harm to the scripture, because He does just that. He allows these things, and we endure these things, and we go through these things, and then He gives us another promise, and He says He wants to bring us out into a wealthy place. There's no other way you can get into that wealthy place except to pass through on this path of life. Pass through pain. Pain is real. And, you know, you hear some people say, well, they just don't have a very high tolerance for pain. And then they'll say of others, well, they have a real high tolerance for pain. And maybe we all like to think we are the ones that has a high tolerance for pain and it's reached its limit. You know, we might feel that way. It's all part of suffering. Why are we called to suffer? If Jesus had not suffered at all, He probably would not expect us to suffer. He may have changed the whole plan, but He went through more suffering than you and I can hardly imagine. We can only imagine. You think of Jesus in the garden. Did He suffer? The scripture says He did. He said that the sweat was coming down as though it were great drops of blood. You know what that is? That's adrenaline. Have you ever had adrenaline? Maybe, but you've never sweated like that? Maybe sudden fear or dread of an action or something? Well, Jesus was dreading what He was facing. He had flesh. And then the things that He went through in His trial, the mockings, the cruel mockings, the beatings, the scourgings, all was painful. Yes. And if we, you know what the Lord does? I believe He starts out trying to teach us something about suffering by giving us a little suffering. And He wants to prove Himself in that little suffering. And when that pain is gone, you're so relieved and you're so thankful and you're giving Him all of the praise. And then maybe it escalates. He's leading you to a little different place in your path of life. Well, besides suffering physically, there are mental battles, emotional battles, severe. There are people that get so deep in emotional battles, they will take their life. There are people that, and that's suffering. I want to tell you, I've been there. And I won't take the time to go through that story again, but I can tell you one thing, I've never forgot it. But God delivered me, broke the power. Oh, praise God for His great goodness. But there are battles that may have nothing to do with the physical body, but can be very hard, very hurtful. If you're betrayed by a friend, I want to tell you that is a pain and not necessarily a physical pain. It could be a pain in your heart. It could be a sorrow that you endure. I've been there. I know the pain of that. And I won't go into that story either. But you know what? In the very midst of life itself, there's going to be tears and crying and weeping and struggles and doubts and fears and, this is in the Bible, lamenting. You know what lamenting is? Crying unto the Lord. Reaching a point that you can't handle it anymore. You've got to have God's help. That's a lamenting. So another thing that comes under suffering is having questions. Why? And I believe that God permits us to ask why, but He doesn't want us to make up the answer. He wants us to accept His reason, His why. Okay, number four. You and I cannot control what happens to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can control what happens to you? Well, I'm going to tell you that you can.
Don't feel like it.
You can control. I will give you an example, and it's to my shame. Went through a terrible place in the church. Be on your guard where there's problems in the church. So I said to actually Brother Philip, I said to Brother Philip, and he was in the situation too, and, well, I'll just tell you one thing. That's the last time I'm going to work with that situation. So you see, I could have controlled what I did or didn't do. And Brother Philip, he said, Sister Maxine, can I talk to you? And I said, yes. He said, when you have those kind of feelings, he said, you become 60% less effective. That got my attention. So when you start trying to control what God allows in your life or doesn't allow in your life, you become 60% less effective. I said, Philip, I'm not willing to be 40%. And I have worked with the situation again and again. Don't try to control your own life or what you allow in your life. I'm never going to speak to those folks again. And I'm going to walk down that side of the building and I'm not going to be where they are. you will be 60% less effective. Swallow it. Deny yourself. Seek God to give you that power and grace to love your enemy and to pray for your enemy, to pray for those that despitefully use you. That's the word of the Lord. So don't try to control what happens to you in your life. If it is in God's plan, and I believe that God does this, when I reject it one time, I find I still have to go through it a little bit further down the road. He's going to bring that same thing back to me to get my attention, that I look within myself, that I seek Him and I say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there is a wicked way in me. And then I say, beat me with many stripes if that's what it will take. Correct me. Have that kind of attitude and submission to the Lord, because He's the one that's directing your path. Thank the Lord. So don't control your path, and we can choose to be ready. For what? The next battle. You may not know what the next battle will be. I don't know what the next battle will be. But by seeking the Lord now and preparing myself in His, or by His Spirit, I'm preparing myself for the next battle. Yes. And rest assured, there's going to be other battles. You're not going to just slide on through. God's proving something in you. And the next thought under this number four is, there is a training room. R-O-O-M. Where is the training room? Anybody have an idea where the training room is? It's in your closet. God is calling for you to get alone with Him before the battle. Yes. Don't wait till you're in the battle. Don't wait till the storm is raging. Oh, if you've waited, then do it. But from now until that time of battle, get alone with the Lord. Cry out to Him. Open yourself up to Him. And I'm going to say something. If you're in the closet with God, you're in the closet for yourself. And yourself alone. You're not to go in there and pray for everybody else. Do that somewhere else. But God is calling for you to be trained and prepared for the next battle, whatever it is. Afflictions, sorrow, grief, things. Don't you know that things come upon us suddenly? Many times. It's not just a brewing over here. It looks like a cloud is coming and we're going to have a tornado. I better get in my safe room. No, I want to tell you something. Many things come upon us suddenly. And we need to be prepared. So prepare. The path of life is working to prepare you and me by His what? His providence, by His very plan, His purpose that He wants to work in my life. Allow Him to do it all along the way. Okay, now I'm going to come down to a story, and I'm going to read it to you. I read this story a while back, and it left such an impression on me, and I could relate to it so completely that I was on my knees and crying out to the Lord. So I hope that you can draw your mind in, because it's a little bit lengthy. And I'm not giving you the whole story. I have written it in a, like a book report, just a short story of it. The title of this story was The Thankful Book. Now, I know you probably say, well, how can that relate to everything you've said? Because I believe God is wanting us to have the attitude of thankfulness in everything that comes our way. And so here's the story. The story is concerning a young girl. She had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. The grandmother bought her this book, and she called it The Thankful Book. And she told her from a little child that she was to look for one thing to be thankful for in every event that came to her in her life. So this book covered many years of her life from young until she dies. So the story itself is supposedly after she is gone. Her children have found the book and they are reading it. And as they opened her thankful book, a letter fell out and it was addressed to them. And the mother said, "Dear children, my grandmother gave me this book many years ago when I complained bitterly that everything seemed to go wrong. She asked me to promise to write in it some reason for the thankfulness in every event of my life. I began when not more than a mere child and have kept my promise. I was about to destroy it today when the thought came to me that it might be to you a guiding message." And this is what I'm hoping for today, that we receive some guidance from this day forward. "So I give it to you, my dears, with a prayer that to you also may come the knowledge its keeping has taught me." So she began her journal as a child in childish events, and she sometimes would have to really search for something to be thankful for, even in her childish events of life. She grows up and she goes away to boarding school and continues to write in her journal. She grew and developed into a young woman ready for life and continuing to record the good and the bad events, the events so common to all men. And then she met her darling, the darling of her life. See, we can start relating, can't we? And finds it so easy to be thankful for everything. In the good things of life, it's so easy. Her entries sang of pure love having hundreds of reasons to be thankful. Then there was a space of time before she could write of a most hurtful event. Both her parents were taken from her in a sudden accident. Obvious tear-stained spots were on the entry as she strove to find something to be thankful for. And then she remembered her grandmother and her mother had both said there was always one thing in every event. In striving to identify the one thing, and with the help of her dear husband-to-be, she found it at last in the midst of her sorrow. She was thankful they went together. So she found her one thing that she was thankful for. She and her John were married soon after this event, and the thankfulnesses were very thick. And in it all, she remembers her mother's guidance, and it was an added thankfulness. Then came the first rift. She was ashamed the moment of her failure and made herself write it in her book as punishment. She noted how patient John was with her, and that was her thankful entry, as well as a resolve to never do that again. And I've shortened some of this. The children came with great joy and thanksgiving. Life again was filled with thankfulnesses. And then suddenly, John's illness came without warning. And once again, she searched for the thankfulness in this life-changing event. Then came a long period without any entries, and the writing was on a separate page, and this is what it said. So I have copied this part out of the book to give to you. I think the Lord wants to use this. It has taken many, many months for me to learn wherein lay thankfulness in John's going from me. When they brought him home to me and during the long, painful months that followed, it would have been impossible for me to write a line in this little book. But I have learned many lessons since that day. I'm going to stop there just for a moment, because this is God's purpose. Everything he brings into our path of life, he wants us to learn something. He's speaking to us through the events of our life, whatever it is. And this woman had she was able to articulate how it affected her in her life. I know now that only through much suffering, by going down to the very depths of despair, do we learn to know the realities. They may be told to us, preached to us all our earthly lives, but until everything material has been swept from beneath our feet, here and now, on this earthly plane, until nothing is left for us to hold to, until all light has disappeared and we are completely enveloped in earthly darkness and are groping for light, does the white light of the divine spirit begin to illume the darkness for us and grow in brilliancy as our understanding unfolds until, ere we are conscious of it, our whole being is vibrant with its rays. And for this light and for this divine understanding, I am so truly thankful. Life is not going to be easy. But God wants every one of us to look for something to be thankful for in those things that he permits in our life. The long, weary months of nursing, of witnessing the suffering of one's best beloved, the agony of helplessness at such a time, the failure of financial affairs, John's end, then the months of my own illness and complete prostration. It took all this and more to open my inner eyes. For until I had passed through the very gates, I was not to know regeneration. Suffering produces something in us. It's hard to put it into words, but this woman has put this in words that I can grasp. But now I know, now I see, and never before did I live. All the dear years John and I were together, I was existing on the surface and merely the intuition of holy things. But at last, I have entered the Holy of Holies, and I am conscious of my oneness with the Divine Spirit. Now, for the first time, do I feel my oneness. And for this, dear God, I am thankful. Thankful, too, that in those long months of suffering, John learned some of this, too. Physical suffering teaches us something, too. Don't withdraw from it. Don't draw back. Allow God to work, whatever his purpose is in your life. I know now nothing ever happens out of time or place. Therefore, as it was given unto me to minister to my dear love, when the need called, so has it been shown through him the way for a larger ministry. Therefore, I am very thankful. When God brings us to a place such as this, he wants it to work for our eternal good. Yes. I'm going to insert here, and not for any attention to myself, but one reason I could relate to this type of suffering is because I suffered in the same way. I knew, I was convinced, as soon as Lauren was taken, that God wanted to do something with me. I knew he wanted it to work for my eternal good. So in closing, I want to remind us of the story of Hind's feet in high places. Who were her traveling companions? Much afraid, who was her companions? Sorrow and suffering. And what did the shepherd say about sorrow and suffering? That they were the best teachers. So we must not push God's hand away. We must submit ourselves to his plan. I want to say this. Galatians 5:17 speaks about the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh because they're contrary to one another. That's what happens when events come to us in our life that will cause sorrow or suffering or sickness. That's what happens. But I want to read it to you in another way. For the desire of the flesh fights against the spirit, and the desire of the spirit fights against the flesh. And this tends to hinder you from doing what you wish to do. Maybe our spirit is wanting to be able to submit and allow God to work in us his plan. But the flesh draws back. The flesh does not want to suffer. So that's our little message. I believe that God is wanting our eyes opened, our spiritual eyes opened. Now remember, much afraid was just that. She was afraid of everything. You and I fight a spirit of imaginations which creates fear. I've been there. I'm not exempt. What if this happens? What if that happens? I want to tell you, if you're imagining something, 9 times out of 10, it won't happen. Whatever God allows to happen won't have been in your imaginations. It will be in His perfect plan to work with each one of us. And when we get past it and we look back, we can say, that was the best thing for me. I could never have learned that lesson without that event. And then to be as this woman, and you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have a thankful book. Start writing down the one thing that you can be thankful for. Oh, I wish you could read the whole story. God is calling for us to come before Him and make our requests known with what? Thanksgiving. It is so important that we can look for the thankfulness in all of the things that the Lord brings to us. I'm going to say this right at the end. You can trust God to write your story. He won't make a mistake. Yes. Thank the Lord. Amen.